Woody Allen has a new movie, and we stopped by his cutting room in the back of a Park Avenue apartment building the other day to talk about the film and the life he's made for himself out of comedy, anxiety, nebbishness, neurosis, movies, and music. There's still some sand in Woody Allen's gray hair. He's soft-spoken, shakes hands gently, and politely points at his ears to explain that he's slightly hard of hearing now. He wore an elegant blue cashmere sweater over a deeply wrinkled white shirt and, of course, his signature black athletic shoes, looking a bit like an aging teenager who's ransacked his father's closet for clothes but couldn't quite fit into his shoes. The quintessential New Yorker's actually made his last three films in London and has had some of his best reviews in recent years. Mr. Allen's new film, Cassandra's Dream, stars Colin Farrell and Ewan McGregor as two brothers who nurse their dreams like a dwindling thimble of scotch.
I was working on a story about two brothers, actually a whole family, who was completely dependent on their successful uncle. Mm-hmm. And then it occurred to me that they all have something that they want from him. But what if the uncle had a real serious problem and he was the one that beat them to the punch and he spoke about his needs? Mm-hmm. And from that, everything grew quite easily.
I can't do it, Ian. I can't.
No, we're going to do it, Terry. Because Uncle Howard needs us to do this very badly.
Oh, let's not play games, Ian. You're thinking of us. Well, we can get out of it.
I'm not playing games, Terry. Your whole life is in the toilet unless you've got some way of paying off a £90,000 debt.
I'm not as cool as you are, Ian.
I am not cool, Terry. I'm fighting very hard not to panic. But this is a way out for me, too.
And then I had to figure out what kind of characters would be so dependent on the person. So the father had a failing restaurant. One brother worked for him. The other brother gambled and worked in a garage. And it wouldn't have worked if the brothers were successful and opulent. They wouldn't be dependent upon him for any kind of largesse. So there'd be no way he could prevail on them for a favor.
It seems like they have just enough success for their dreams not to be ludicrous.
Right.
Not fantasies.
Right. They're not wildly deluded. I mean, there's no reason to think that the character that Ewan plays couldn't succeed. Of course, as with most people, most of our dreams don't really work out.
You said most of us don't fulfill our dreams. Is that true of you?
For me, it was not true of in spades. I've fulfilled just about all of my dreams. I've become a film director. I was a comedian. I've played New Orleans jazz all over the world, despite my utter mediocrity at it. I've played baseball in Dodger Stadium and was flied out to by Willie Mays. But that's very unusual, and I'm very mindful of the fact that it's been sheer luck and that most people don't have that kind of luck. I've just been fortunate.
Do you have a lot of characters running around in your head at any given time?
Yes. Many, many times when I'm shooting a film, the idea for another one will come to me. Just random, as a non sequitur. I'll be sitting around and I'll see an item in the newspaper about a man who committed a tax fraud or something. And I'll think, gee, that would be an interesting idea for a movie. And I write it down. And when the time comes to write, I have a half dozen or maybe more ideas scratched out, and I don't have to begin in that terrible way of not having anything to begin your thinking on, which is really unpleasant.
You're known for doing a lot of master shots, as they're called, which is the wide shot, the actors. It will go on for several minutes, not cutting to the closer shot. Why do you do that? Are you conscious of doing it? You must be at this point more than other directors.
Now you'll think I'm being facetious, but I'm not. I do it and have always done it out of sheer laziness. The tedium of making a film, of getting a scene that's, let's say, a one-page talk scene, and to shoot a three-shot, and then shoot your close-up and her close-up and my close-up. And this goes on. Now we're here for all day and maybe a day and a half shooting the same scene is so boring, is expensive, and so boring that I found if I could do it in a master shot, and get it to work, I could do it and be finished with it. The actors like it. They don't have to do it over and over. And so it evolved into what's perceived as a style, which in fact is just laziness and frugality.
Does it let you make more pictures in a sense because you're able to?
Yes. You know, the average budget for Hollywood film, I'm told, is just for the average film is like $40 million, and they go all the way up to 60, 90, 100. Mm-hmm. But I make all my films for $15 million, and I can make them quickly. People that finance them don't really ever get hurt. So consequently, they let me work very freely because nobody's really at much risk.
What about the collegiality of filmmaking? Is that part of what you enjoy, or do you have to?
Well, you know, it's a mixed blessing because you work close with a group of people for a period of time, and then suddenly it vanishes, and everybody feels bad for, you know, a few hours. I mean, you
exchange phone numbers, right, and all that stuff?
Well, yeah, the next morning it's fine, but it's not fine that day. For instance, I'll embark on a film, so I'm working with the crew and with the actors, and 7 o'clock in the morning I see them, and we're with each other every second of the day. We're trying things out, and we're working hard together. And then suddenly, it's the last day, the last shot, and then there's always a little rap party or a little goodbye drink. And the next morning you wake up, and everyone is already on their planes to Africa and California and different places, and it's forgotten. I have never made permanent friends with anyone from movies.
Really?
It's just a personality quirk of mine. I just don't make friends easily. So I've never made. I have very few show business friends. I have very few friends, actually, because I just am not. I'm not good at it. I just have never been good at it. Scarlett Johansson, who I've done 3 pictures with, feels that I'm the most antisocial person that she's worked with. And I always insist that I'm not antisocial. I'm just not social. I don't know. It's just personality. It might be personality.
Have you not, at least on 1 or 2 occasions in your life, had well-known, long-standing romantic relationships?
Oh yes, I've been
with
lucky
people
that
who've been
way
in your
too.
Film, but with people who've been in your film.
Yes, I don't count those exactly as friendships, you know, in the sense, you know, guys I could call up and go to the basketball game with or something. Yeah. I've had some wonderful romances in my life with wonderful and beautiful women, and they've made real contributions to my life and to my work, and you know, and I've been very lucky that way. I mean, I'm really, really lucky.
This is just dime store pop psychology. Mm-hmm. But is that why you make films or were in show business in the theater? Because in a sense it forces you to have relationships that at least have some of the trappings of friendship?
I make them because it's an escape for me. Films, when I was a child, films were a great escape. And you'd go into the movie house. It would be disgusting in real life, you know, hot and ridden with brutality and sadness and tragedy. And you'd go in and suddenly there was Fred Astaire in a tuxedo in a penthouse and the telephone would be white and they'd be popping champagne corks and you'd escape. When I grew up, I found I could escape on the other side of the camera. That world doesn't exist for real. But when I get a chance to work for months with very beautiful women, very handsome, witty men. They're in costumes. The music is by...
Well, in part, they're witty because you write their lines.
Yes, I've created. And I've fabricated a whole existence, and I'm with them every day. The music is by Cole Porter. The sets are by Santo Lacosto. You know, everything is great, and I live in that atmosphere for months. Just, you know, is this costume right? Is this piece of jewelry right? Is that nightclub look correct? You know, and then it ends, and I'm back in the real world for a while, and I quickly like to get out of the real world and back into the world of fabrication. And so I've escaped into movies in a way that I've done when I was younger, but I can't duplicate now that I'm older because I'm wiser than I was when I was younger. I can't sit in a movie house and think that Humphrey Bogart is really that tough and that wonderful. I don't think people are. So I'm able to fabricate the dreams myself and then participate in them.
What answer do you have for people who say, I wish you'd make a funny movie again, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'm trying. I mean, this spring I'm going to try and make a funny movie. You know, it was interesting. There were people that were saying that to me, and I made a couple of funny movies, but not many people came to see them. Small Time Crooks was a funny movie, and a movie of mine that I thought was one of my funniest movies, really, Hollywood Ending, nobody came to see. It was a natural idea. It would have been a great idea for Chaplin or Buster Keaton or something. I played a blind film director, and I did it well, I thought. I think I was the only person that ever played a blind person in the movies who was not nominated for an Academy Award. And the picture, you know, the picture came out very well, but nobody saw it. And people were then saying to me, well, these pictures are too light. You should be doing more serious things. But I wanted to do them. I enjoy doing comic films, and I do have, I think, a funny comedy idea for this spring in New York, and I am going to do it. And then if it's successful, great. If it's not, I'm sure people will say, oh, he should be doing things like Cassandra's Dream or Match Point. They have much more substance to them.
You are about 70?
72. I was 72 December 1st.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Do you think you've learned anything about how to persist, how to keep creating, how to keep challenging yourself?
I have not learned much about anything over the years. You know, I always feel that you're supposed to mellow and learn and deepen when you get older. I haven't deepened or learned too much. The only thing that I think I have learned over the years, but it wasn't when I got older, I learned it when I was younger, was if you don't think about yourself creatively, it's better. If you just keep your nose to the grindstone, don't read your reviews, don't believe them when they tell you you're great, don't worry if they tell you you're no good, don't get caught up with awards, don't get caught up with all the peripheral nonsense of the business, grosses, high grosses or low grosses. Just shut up and make your movies, and that really works fine. That's the only thing I learned. I learned it many years ago. I was young, and I never learned anything since, and have never learned anything of real value in my life.
Mr. Allen, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Cassandra's Dream opens later this month. To catch a glimpse of the new movie and to hear what Woody Allen loves or hates about making movies in a foreign city, come to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.